Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. Yeah, everybody writes me after a show like that when I can't think of actors or movies. Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, Martin. Hey, I'm lucky I came up with the name Good Will Hunting, okay? And I did come up with Robin Williams, all right? Actually, I thought of everything myself as soon as I turned the camera off. That's the way these things work. Good morning, everyone. Martin Zender here. And people get excited about being exposed. I really do. People think people get a little bit excited about it, but they don't want too much of it. I say this because the Great White Throne is, if nothing else, it's a vast exposure. Vast. And it's a good exposure. And people are going to be happy for the exposure. People want the exposure. And I think that, well, I know I'm going to say something bold now, something that maybe you've never heard before. I think sex in this life, I think that's the need people have. It's not just physical. It's not that there's this physical rush of good feelings, but it's emotional at its base level. And I think it's a hint of the Great White Throne. I will say that, and I will go on record today as saying that sexual relations between human beings, I don't know how it is with animals, maybe it's the same. They all want to be exposed. Scratching and biting. I don't know what it is with animals because I've never been one. I'm a gentleman. But between human beings, which is the only thing I can speak to, there's more than just physical. It's this emotional need to be exposed. But we can't take too much of it. So we act like normal people in regular life, and we're very presentable, and we want people to think of us a certain way, and we're circumspect, and some of us are circumcised, and we have this presentation we're always making. But when you get behind closed doors with another person, then you make an agreement with this other person that you are going to expose yourself. And I don't mean exclusively now taking off your clothing, although that's part of it. That's part of it. And it's a microcosm of the Great White Throne. I'm going to get into more depth here as the show unfolds. Oh, yes, that's what I do. It's not just the clothing coming off, I don't think. But anyway, that clothing coming off is a picture of the Great White Throne, for sure. Because the deeds, hopes, dreams, expectations, it all becomes naked before God. You can hide so many flaws, going back to the naked human body, which some people think is evil, some people think it's wrong to be naked, which I'm sorry for those people. But anyway, there are many flaws and blemishes we all have on our bodies that we cover with clothing. And really, clothing can be used by us and is used by us to forward a certain image we want people to have of us. Clothes make a man, or so they say. What a false... There's a perfect example of how wrong we've all gone. Clothes make the man? That's how superficial our culture is, because in fact it's true. Clothes do make the man. Oh, here comes another movie reference. Why am I doing this to myself? Do you remember the film Family Man with Nicolas Cage? Woohoo! And Tia Leone. How did I do this? Thank you, God. And he goes in, he sees what his life would be like, and he goes, he's a rich guy, he's working, he's a power broker, an advertiser, no, he's in finance, big finance in New York City, and he gets a glimpse of how his life would have been if he had met this woman and become a family man. So he finds himself in a really humble suburb of New Jersey somewhere, and he's a family man now. But in one point of the movie, he goes into a haberdashery, and he puts on a new suit, And he says, it's amazing how good this suit makes me feel. And he just puffed up his chest immediately when he had this $2,000. Of course, it was a $2,000 suit. All these surface accoutrements we put on ourselves, whether it's jewelry or clothing, or when a woman puts on a dress and heels, she suddenly feels like a different person. And yeah, the people can project a totally different persona with their clothing. And this is just one aspect of it. People do the same thing with their jobs. Where you, I'm a marketing whatever. I just so many amazing titles, and you don't know what the hell the people do. I ask people what they do for a living. I'm a marketing consultant. What the hell is that? Who do you consult, or who consults you? Marketing. It's just such vagueness. What what the hell do you do every day? I mean, what do you actually do? I'm a blah blah blah, and there's these like multisyllabic descriptions, and I have to ask 4 or 5 questions to find out what the hell do you actually do. Because people hide behind these great titles. Sanitation engineer. Yeah, that's a garbage man. Great. You pick up the garbage. That's what you actually do. Great. It's noble work. You know, I'm a marketing consultant. What the hell is that? Oh, I help companies make more money by helping them let other people what they do. I like common words used to describe, but we hide behind titles, we hide behind jobs, we hide behind clothes, we hide behind cars. You won't believe the cars people drive around here. And when you see somebody in a Ferrari or a Bentley, you get an opinion of that person, and they want you to have an opinion of them, but I insist to you that they're naked. You take away the Bentley, you take away their clothes, you take away their job title, and now we have the great white throne, folks. Now we have the great white throne. But back to sex. So people take their clothes off, and it's a refreshing change of pace because ordinarily we wear clothes. And so, of course, we all take off our clothes when we go into the shower. Some of us take off our clothes when they go to bed, as do I. Why would you want to continue wearing clothes? I wear clothes all day. Now I'm going to wear a different kind of clothes to sleep? I don't even get it. It's like, deliver me of these clothes, please. And so I like to sleep as God made me. So anyway, back to sex. So it's not that you're by yourself anymore. You agree to be with someone, and they actually see you without your clothes. And that's an exciting prospect. Because again, I tell you that it is a precursor of the great white throne judgment when God sees us without our clothes. You think, well, God sees me anyway, but you don't consciously think that when you're in the shower. Yet back when I didn't realize that death was death, I used to think that my grandfather, who had died when I was 10, was watching me. And you know, I would take off my little underwear when I was a kid, and it's like, Grandpa watching me? Oh no. I'm not worried about that anymore, right? Because Grandpa's dead, so is everybody else. So there's still the fact that Jesus and God are watching you, and, oh, all the angels. But you know what? That's their problem. Kind of exciting then, even, actually. But most people, let's not talk about me right now, let's talk about most people, don't have a consciousness that God's watching them. So it's a thrill for other people to watch them. And so people take off their clothes, and then people become sexually excited, and it's kind of like alcohol in that it removes, you suddenly become more real of who you are, and people say things when they're having sex that they would not in a million years say. And so it's a very dangerous proposition to be that exposed to anyone. You start talking like a truth serum. Sex is like a truth serum, especially when you come under the influence of whatever the heck that is, you know, when those pleasure things take over, and the endorphins are flying, and people are stimulating each other sexually. For some reason, it's a release of layers and layers of protection. And then I don't want to get too graphic, so I won't. I mean, I'm not uncomfortable in the least talking about any of this. Maybe you can tell. But some of you are, so I don't want to go too far here. But, people like the idea of being exposed, and even when you're naked, you become more exposed. Yet, nudity is not the ultimate exposure. You can even become more exposed. And as I said, especially those areas that are usually covered up. So it's very exciting for people to be known. I think that deep down humanity wants to be known. That's why you have these ridiculous, I guess they're not ridiculous, I think I maybe have to scale down my negative opinion of social media, because I generally hate social media. But I think it really is an indication to me that now that people want to be known, and people just want other people to know what they're doing. And so some people post like naked pictures of themselves. It's the human need. And I tell you this, the Great White Throne will answer that need. The Great White Throne is the ultimate, I can't do this, can I? I'm repulsed by what I'm about to say. The Great White Throne is the ultimate Facebook page where everybody just lays out everything that they are and they can't help it. So now I'm going to get that image out of my head because I hate Facebook, but I love the Great White Throne. But maybe I have to see Facebook as an answer to the human need to be known. And the internet has done this. YouTube allows anybody to put any video content on the web, and blogs and other things. The World Wide Web itself helps people to express themselves that otherwise wouldn't be heard. If you made a film, you had to go to Hollywood before the days of the internet, before the days of independent film. If you wanted to make a country song, God help you, you had to go to Nashville. If you wanted to make a movie, or if you wanted to write a book, you had to get your book published by a major New York house, which limited things because those people are generally liberals. They have a liberal political leaning, and so everything they publish has to suit their worldview. So it's a false. And then when those people award books like the National Book Award or the Pulitzer, or in film, the Oscar, it's all political, folks. Unless a movie is hugely great, it's all political. Anybody that makes a political statement with a film, you have a great chance of getting the Oscar. Anyway, with the Great White Throne judgment, God's judgment will be true and it will be right and it will satisfy every need that the human has. And God has no emotional needs, but God is going to be totally full of enjoyment, I think, to finally see these humans as they are. God's going to say, "You're finally getting real with me." And people will say, "Well, it's not exactly our choice." And that will be true because they will be forced to stand at the Great White Throne. How do I say that? Because God has raised them. That took an act of force of the Spirit of God to raise dead people. Dead people cannot raise themselves. Sorry, reincarnation. Dead people do not come back. But I guess even reincarnation says you can't choose what you come back as. You might come back as a grasshopper, or you might come back as a Marilyn Monroe, whatever. Oh, this is crazy. There was, she'll never listen to the show, so it doesn't matter. There was this girl staying with us who was in the yachting industry. That is irrelevant. But I had a conversation with her, and she was definitely into New Age. Loves the New Age thing. Loves the idea of reincarnation. She's sure that people come back as other people, other things. She's sure that the soul goes on, and that people go on, and that they keep trying again, like Steely Dan. Go back, Jack, do it again. And she knows of my passion for the scripture. And in fact, she knows that I wrote a newsletter in the voice, in the persona of Paul. Well, she says, "I'm Paul reincarnated." She's sure of it. She goes, "Martin, you're the reincarnation of Paul." I said, "No, I'm not. Believe me, I'm not. I'm a guy who reads Paul and who can get into the guy's head and who can probably channel the guy." That's a bad word to use, channel, because that's a spirit term, black art term, when human beings channel dead spirits or all this. It's just hocus pocus, and it's all BS. And again, I remind you, that stands for bullshit. So no, I'm not Paul reincarnated, okay? But this, again, it's something that excites people. But the joy of exposure, maybe I'll work that into the title of this show. The joy of exposure, the joy of being known, that's even better. The joy of being known. We can't take much of it, which is why we limit it to our brief interludes of sexual passion. When we can actually invite someone into our world and to let them see who we are. And it's exciting as hell, i.e. sex. And there are also physical titillations to be had there as well. But we can't take much of it. That's why people don't have sex all day long. You just can't handle that much exposure. You don't want yourself to be known. So it's so interesting, people after sex, I've watched the movies. That's how I know about all this. I've seen movies and read books, yes. So everybody gets stressed and they get themselves all fixed up again. And it's like, I don't know what just happened there, but I'm better now. And people go back now. You can see the slow transformation of people coming from this arena of honesty that happens in this little cubicle called the bedroom. Or, you know, I'm just being old-fashioned here. It can happen anywhere. Some people do it on the beach. There's even a drink named Sex on the Beach. That's even more exciting, I suppose, in public. Again, I've seen movies. So, yes, you see people getting back their normal self. What came over me there? I'm fine now. Miss Smith, please take a memo. Yeah, Miss Smith, who was just on your lap or whatever, on your face, and now, please take a memo. Now she's your secretary again. What the hell happened to you? Huh, well, you lost your mind for a second there, buddy boy. Boss man, you lost your mind for a second. Well, guess what? At the Great White Throne, everybody's going to lose their minds. And it's going to be continuous. And you're going to continue to lose your mind until you become reconciled to your mind. And the result of that is a reconciliation to God. Isn't God wise to give everyone the ultimate sexual experience? It's going to be like a Big Bang Sex. The Great White Throne, I will redefine it here, recast it as Big Bang Sex. And it shouldn't be a surprise to you that I would say something like this, because I've told you, people say, Martin, we're not going to have sex in heaven. And I keep telling people, no, we're not going to have it as we're used to this primitive exchange here on earth with these intersecting body parts. It is quite inconvenient. But the principle behind it, the truth behind sex, is going to be everywhere in the heavens. And I really see a concentration of it's going to be a giant bedroom. The Great White Throne is a giant bedroom. Yeah, and it's going to be a little bit stimulating. Yeah, a little bit stimulating. There's going to be all different kinds of sex going on there, too. There's going to be... I'm trying to draw the line, not for my sake, but for yours, because I love this. This is a form of the Great White Throne for me, being able to talk to you and being able to go off on... discussions based on one. This is all based on Heaven and Earth Have Fled. The last two shows are, I am going off on that brief passage, Heaven and Earth Have Fled. I see that as a removal of all the safety measures we've put in place in our lives, whether they're cars or job titles or our families, the Christmas cards we sent out. Look at my wonderful family. It looks wonderful on the Christmas card. And because of this, people think that everybody but them is living a wonderful life. Reminds me of a movie, doesn't it? A Wonderful Life. But it's not true. As Ralph Waldo Emerson said, people everywhere lead lives of quiet desperation. And they're constantly trying to hide that quiet desperation. And what a day it is for many people when their desperation is exposed by some event, some tragedy in their life, and they're finally real. And then they become changed people. And they go on podiums and they talk to other people as real people, finally. Like, who are you? It happened to Saul, the Pharisee Saul. How many protections did that guy put on? His diplomas, his zeal, and then suddenly he's stripped of everything. There's a great sex scene, the road to Damascus. The great light shines, and there was a spiritual unveiling and a spiritual knowing and a spiritual realization. And this is good stuff, my friends. This is good stuff. And at the Great White Throne, it's going to turn into great stuff.